My name is Megan, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Megan.
Hi. A little nervous, sorry. My dad's here in the front row, so... Yay, Dad! And, yeah, so when I was little, he decided to get sober, and so very grateful for that. We have our birthday in the same month, May 22nd. He has the same age as me. He's got 33 years? 33 years.
Yay,
Dad! And, so I sort of grew up around the program and felt very comfortable. So when it came time for me to put up the good, or what do they say? Put down the fight or something like that. Yeah, something like that. When I had enough, basically, I got beaten into submission, jails, institutions, and close to death. You know, I didn't really have that many options. So I came here, and I knew that it worked because I had seen, like, a huge change in my dad. Also, my mom came in the program when I was about 8, and she was pretty much on death's door, all kinds of suicide, all that stuff. But she turned it all around a lot, so she's a miracle, and I got to watch that. So I kept coming back as long as it took. I'm very hard-headed, so it took me a lot of, you know, research and development to actually, like, stay put or whatever, but I had to go to rehab, and it really, really helped me inpatient. So, yeah, that's me. Thanks. Tonight I have a speaker. Her name's Sarah, and I just admire her. She's at a lot of the meetings I go to with the young people's group around town, and she's just always that person that you're just like, you can go and talk to, and she's just like kind of a calm presence and just like a big sister kind of thing or something. So I just really wanted to hear her story. So if you'll welcome Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm an alcoholic. It's pretty overwhelming to be up here. Thank you for asking me to speak, and hope it's not all over the place. And my sobriety date is May 15th of 2008. My home group is the 101 Young People's Group. We meet on Tuesday night at United Methodist Church. A great meeting, and I got sober when I was 20 years old, so fortunately my drunk-a-log is not very long, and I'm very grateful to have gotten sober when I did. I was just totally just done drinking at that point and desperate, and you know, I'm grateful every day that I stuck around, and for all the people that have helped me, you know. So I guess growing up, I had all the characteristics of an alcoholic by the time I was 10. You know, I really believe that. Nothing was really outwardly wrong with my life, but everything was wrong in my head. Like, I was just completely self-centered and defiant, and I thought people were out to get me, and I had this delusion of being that I was being treated unfairly, or that other people had it better than me for, you know, all kinds of reasons. And so I just had some messed up thinking, I think, from the beginning, and I was very defiant, so and I had some behavioral problems, I guess, when I was in third grade. So it was that early that I got sent to anger management classes because I couldn't. I didn't want to do homework anymore. I ripped up my teacher's homework, threw it in the trash, and, like, you know, just things that a third grader shouldn't really be doing. And by the time I was in fifth grade, I actually found this out recently because I was going through old stuff. And one of my report cards from fifth grade said, you know, Sarah's very smart, but she does not relate well to others. And she lacks compassion for her classmates. And I'm like, wow, that really just sums up my whole existence. It's like, does not relate to others. And does not play well with others. And, you know, I discovered, you know, My parents were not alcoholics. They're not alcoholics, but my mom grew up in an alcoholic home, and they kind of did everything that they could to make sure that there was never any problems with alcohol or drugs. And I discovered drinking, though. There was, however, always a lot of alcohol in my house, and, you know, just, you know, social events going on, and I was curious about it, and I saw my parents drink to kind of unwind at the end of the day, and I was just always very hard on myself, you know. I always just struggled. I couldn't, and this was my problem, is like I couldn't see past my nose. Like, I had no perspective. Everything was just terrible. And I was particularly mad at myself one day, and I think it was in 8th grade, so I was 14, 13, and I actually sought out alcohol. You know, nobody actually introduced it to me or offered it to me. I actually just went into my parents' fridge and drank some wine, and I remember the relief that I felt to finally just, like, be able to shut off my brain and feel somewhat at peace, and I just really enjoyed that. I didn't know what alcoholism was, but I had my first experience with it when I was a freshman in high school. That's actually when my mom's brother died from alcoholism, but I had never met him before, so we got this call one day that he had died, and he was only 43, and so we all went to his funeral, and it was very bizarre, you know. I didn't know what to make of all of it, and it was very sad, and so I kind of started to get this understanding that, like, here was a guy who, you know, my mom had to cut off contact with him a long time ago because I don't know, he just wanted money from her, and she kind of had to do the Al-Anon thing of letting him go, and it's just, it was very sad, you know. And so we went to this funeral, and that's where I met my my other uncle, my mom's other brother, who was an active alcoholic at the time. And so I saw him kind of try to reach back out to us, and, like, I really want to get my life together, like, please help me. And my parents tried to help him, but he was actually dead within a year after that, just because he could not get sober, you know. He was 41 when he died, and so that was all pretty wild to me. And I was actually, you know, at this time, I had started to drink. You know, not every day, but I had started to use it to cope with everything, and especially, you know, difficult times like that. And I I drank through all of that, you know, turmoil that was going on in my family, and I got caught a couple times, and my parents were, you know, they sat down and talked to me and just said, you know, you got to be aware that this disease of alcoholism is very much in our family, and you just have to be really careful. And I just, of course, I'm 15 at the time, I never think that anything bad is going to happen to me. And so I also, at this time, I was in a relationship with an active alcoholic, so that involved just a lot of chaos, a lot of drunk driving, a lot of me driving him around when I didn't even have a driver's license, and just, like, a lot of disturbing things happened within that year that I was dating him. But you know, a lot of these things just fueled my desire to drink because I was becoming increasingly dependent on it, you know, to cope with things. And but you know, it definitely wasn't all bad. In high school, I kind of stayed out of trouble because my life on the outside looked pretty okay. You know, I was involved in high school. I was an athlete and got pretty good grades, and so that's why I would get in trouble for drinking once in a while, but nothing ever really seemed too wrong. And so I basically, trying to think if I'm missing anything. So I had it pretty much under control, and I was applying to college, and I got I ended up going to one school, and I got a scholarship there, and it was very exciting. And as soon as I moved away, you know, from home, that's when I really, like, didn't have to be accountable to anybody anymore, obviously, and you know, I could basically drink how I wanted to. And I very clearly remember, like, just losing control. Like, there was a point that's very clear to me where I realized that, like, I have no power over this anymore. Like, this is when I started to black out, really for the first time. Was in college, and you know, I had this bizarre experience of, like, going to class one day and going back a couple days later, and people asking me, like, if I had done what I said I was going to do, and I had no recollection of it, and, you know, just a lot of memory loss was going on. And but, you know, I drank and I stayed drunk all the time because I thought that it made me actually a more pleasant person, you know, and a better person, because I was able to, you know, just be friendly and fun. Like, and that was another delusion that I had, is that, you know, alcohol really was helping me. And maybe it did in the beginning, but it was definitely out of control. So, and this is, you know, by the time that I'm 18, and there's just a lot of days where I would, you know, pass out and wake up 48 hours later, or even more than that. Like, just, I had lost control, and I was doing a lot of embarrassing things, and I got a bad reputation, and, but I couldn't stop. You know, every time I tried to stop, or swore to myself that I wouldn't do that again, it just, I mean, that never worked out. I really tried every way to control it. And so what happened was, at the end of that year, that school year, I got, I was hospitalized for the first time for, you know, something alcohol related. And I was feeling, like, I knew that I had a problem at that point, and I was starting to just feel hopeless about it, and but also, you know, of course, not thinking that I could stop. And so I'm in the hospital, and these people from a rehab facility are asking me, you know, about my drinking, and I just lie to them, you know, like, I don't, so of course I'm not going to be able to go to a rehab if I'm telling people that I don't have a problem. So obviously I was holding on to, I wasn't ready to give it up. So, however, I did have a family member, a cousin who's in the program, and she, you know, after my incident with going to the hospital, like, she reached out to me and asked if I wanted to go to a meeting with her. And and I'll never forget my first AA meeting, and I actually really liked it, because it was a speaker meeting, and this guy was telling a story, and it was very similar to mine, but he seemed to have you know, relief from the obsession, and he seemed happy, and I was like, wow, I would actually really like that. And so I went up to him after the meeting and I said, you know, thanks so much, and you know, I feel like I related a lot to you, and I think I'd like to get help. And he was like, well, I can give you some numbers of some women, but are you serious about this? Like, are you ready to do some work? And I was like, wait, what? Work? No, I just totally zoned out the part where he was talking about the steps, I guess. And and so just like, you know, getting, I knew that I wasn't ready to basically, you know, sacrifice. I wanted the results, but I wasn't ready to do that kind of work. And so things kept getting worse, and I'm drinking every day and blacking out pretty much every time that I drink. And at the end of that school year, I was like, wow, I have a problem with this place where I'm living, and I really got in with the wrong crowd. So I, you know, I need to start fresh somewhere. I think that would really help me. So so I transferred to a different school, and I was actually home for that summer in between, and that's when all this hell went down. And so I was living with my parents, and I knew that I had a problem at this point, and my way of dealing with that, and it was so obvious, you know, it was so obvious to everybody. So whenever someone would try to confront me about it, I would just attack them and be like, what, you know, what do you think you're talking about? And I went through this phase where I would go out and party and not come home a lot of nights, but a lot of nights I would come home, but I wouldn't make it all the way to my bedroom. So I would, and this happened multiple times, like I woke up in my backyard one night, and my parents were like, what are you doing out here? And I'm just like, I wanted to sleep outside, like, what is wrong with that? So I would just, you know, I would basically try to make the other person feel crazy for confronting me. And so, and I mean, another night I was in my car, and another night I was actually fully clothed on my bedroom floor, so I was like this close to making it into my bed. And it was just, obviously, it was really sketchy looking. And so it was out of control, and I had this job at the time where, and I messed up this job, and it was embarrassing for two reasons. One of them was because I was working for the mayor of my town, and the other one was because my dad had gotten me the job. So I would go in there hungover, and she would say, you know, you're late, stop being late. And I would say something back like, are you seriously going to yell at me right now? This guy was 5 minutes after me. You know, like, I was so, anytime someone would confront me, I was just completely rude and disrespectful, and I was just trying to protect myself because I wanted to keep drinking. And but I shortly after that got fired from that job. And I was also stealing from them, so, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I got fired, but I was nonetheless indignant about it, you know, like, how dare they fire me. And I was also you know, pretty disturbed when I got a DUI one night. I was driving home from a party. I had three drinks, and you know, I was just so mad that the cops had nothing better to do that night, and I wasn't drunk. I had three drinks, but these drinks consisted of like 2 8-ounce, you know, mixed drinks, mostly vodka, splash of Gatorade or whatever, and a beer. And And I was just so, I was so mad, and obviously in a lot of trouble. And so at this point, I tried to get some help. I was kind of ordered to go to AA and an outpatient treatment center. And I lied the whole, every meeting of this outpatient treatment center. And I stopped drinking, actually, but I took up other substances. And I thought, I actually managed to convince myself that that was sober. And I was capable of lying to myself that much, you know. And so when I lied to everybody else about being sober, it just, I don't know, like my capacity to lie that much is just, it's disturbing to me today, you know, because I really didn't see anything wrong with it, and I really just wasn't ready to give it up. And I was, you know, I also manipulated this doctor into prescribing me something that would help with my alcohol cravings, and I abused the, you know, like, it was just, and so of course eventually I drank again after like a couple months of doing that, and I really, like, and I was going to AA at the time, and I was starting to try to think about maybe getting sober, and I would, you know, just lie, and I would pick up chips, and I would, you know, not remember how long that I told people that I had, so I would have to go to different meetings, and you know, just like keep running from people. It was crazy. And I was also, you know, kind of hanging out with other people who were sick, I guess, and just looking for people, like drinking buddies, because I was lonely, and that's why I, that's what I did, you know, when I came to meetings. And so it was just a very sad existence, and I was at a different school at this point, and you know, just lying and trying to make everything seem okay, and at the same time, you know, again having to lie to myself too, because and the more that kept weighing on me, of course, the more that I had to drink. And so it got to a point where I was actually living in a recovery house. I managed to convince them that I was sober, and it got to the point where I basically just couldn't keep up the facade anymore, and I got caught doing something that was really just awful. And I didn't lie about it this time. Like, I had gotten to the point where, like, I had told enough lies that I just couldn't lie anymore, and I asked for help. So I asked for help, and another reason why I asked for help was because the drinking and, like, and all the other stuff I was doing, like, wasn't even working anymore. Because I had to drink more and more to forget what I was doing, but there came a point where I couldn't even blot that out anymore. And so alcohol had stopped working for me, and that was just really devastating. And so I went to a detox and didn't follow a single rule there, and went to, but another thing was, I thought that I just needed to, like, get everything out of my system, and then I could go out and be fine. But I went to this detox, and then I went to rehab after that, and came out and immediately drank again, just because I couldn't really, I just wasn't ready to face everything yet, because I had been lying and stealing and cheating and manipulating for so long that, like, I just wasn't ready to face that, you know. And So I went to this rehab and came out and drank and actually had to go back to a hospital a couple weeks later where I again went to detox. And then after this detox, I, you know, convinced the person that was driving me that I needed to go home and, like, get some things. But, of course, like, I went home and just took, like, everything that I had in my room, and I actually overdosed, so I had to go back to the hospital. And this was on the way to rehab. So I had to go back to detox, and then I went to rehab again, and I just, like, I really thought that I was going to die. I really thought that it just wasn't possible for me. I just felt like I was too far gone. And so anyway, I, you know, at this point I had nothing going for me. I had withdrawn from school and got kicked out of two halfway houses. Didn't have a job, of course, and I had manipulated every last one of my friends, so pretty much a lot of people were talking to me, and it was suggested to me to go to a long-term treatment center, and so that's why I moved to Florida. This is a little over 5 years ago, so I'm from New Jersey, by the way. Forgot to mention that. So I came down here, and I think what I did differently this time was, first of all, like, it helped to be far away from home, but, like, I think I finally had enough willingness to actually give this program an honest try, and I definitely didn't do it perfectly, and there was a lot of times where I was still, you know, rebellious, but, like, overall, I pretty much did what was suggested of me, and also what was different was, like, when I felt like drinking, I told somebody, and I didn't let the thought, like, mature enough to where I was plotting something, you know. I was just honest about it at all times, and I definitely was going about things in a different way, and I got a sponsor right away, and I was told, you know, to get on my knees and ask God for help, you know, please keep me sober, and then, of course, thank God at the end of the day, and I did that, and I also got on my knees and prayed every time that I wanted to drink, and, you know, the obsession to drink was not lifted right away. It took a couple months. But, you know, for the first time, I actually, like, would go to meetings and listen and listen to the people that were trying to help me and actually believe that it was possible for me. You know, there's a lot of people who had it way worse. And my first sponsor was one of them. And that's actually why I picked her, because I heard her story. I was like, if she can do it, I can definitely do it. And so that gave me a lot of hope. And I went to a meeting every day. I tried to get involved where I could, and I basically just, like, let other people help me and learn, you know, how to function. Like, I was in treatment for a while, so I wasn't exactly excited about, like, going from being in college to, like, learning how to make my bed and be nice to people. But, like, I needed that, and I needed to, like, to learn these basic life skills of, you know, and really, like, how to be nice to people, like, how to say, I'm fine, how are you? Like, not just, I'm fine. And, you know, because I was so self-centered for so long, like, I was obviously raised much better than that, but because I was so, you know, obsessed with myself, I just lost the ability to, like, really see other people and care about other people. And so, you know, and I grew up Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, but I didn't, for whatever reason, like, so I wasn't a big fan of the God idea, but for whatever reason, like, as soon as I came in here, like, I was just really glad that people were talking about their conception of God. Like, that was very heavily emphasized, as like God as we understand them. And so I knew that, you know, like, it could be whatever I wanted it to be, and so that was encouraged, and I knew that it didn't have to be the God that I grew up with. And I really, you know, for that reason, like, and also because I was willing to kind of do anything at that point, like, I had no problem just, you know, praying to whatever it was for help. And so, you know, I went through the steps, and my fourth step was basically, it was very long. The first one was very long, and I had, you know, just a lot of writing about people and what they had done to me. And the fourth column is supposed to be what my part in the situation was. And then this first four step that I wrote, it was just mostly blank. It's like, I really needed help with just how to stop being victimized and how to, like, take responsibility, because, like, I really just didn't see it at first. I didn't see my part in a lot of things, and which is, I don't know, it's kind of ridiculous looking back on it, but I didn't see it at the time, and so I got a lot of help with that, and I was able, you know, for the first time to have compassion for people that that I thought had wronged me. And as a result of that, I was able to get some compassion for myself, and just kind of realize for the first time the futility, I guess, of having all this resentment, because I was so angry for so long, and really, like, it didn't matter how much I was resenting these people, like, I was the one suffering, like, nothing was going to happen to them. And so that was pretty revolutionary for me. And I guess, you know, when I got to the eighth step, I mean, the eighth step was very intimidating to me, because I owed a lot of people money, you know, on financial amends, and because I was, because I had moved down here, I basically just kind of took a lot of time to just not talk to people that I had, you know, people that were in my life that were trying to help me, just because, like, I needed some time to, like, really work on myself and, like, get honest with myself so that I could, you know, approach them, I guess, with, like, a actual sincere amends. And it was very intimidating, because, you know, I had to contact the employer that I stole from. I had to contact these people in AA that I had lied to, and they knew I was lying, but like, a lot of them really tried to help me, and they were really, like, a part of my life, even though, like, they knew I was lying. It's so amazing to me, because I'm just so grateful that, like, even though they knew I wasn't serious about it, like, they just kept trying to help me, you know. And that seed was definitely planted, and I knew that eventually, like, I could come here when I wanted to get sober. Like, nobody ever kicked me out, even though I did these terrible things and, like, tried to take people out with me, and I was very you know, manipulative. And so I don't know. Oh, thank you. So it was just when I finally contacted these people and, like, told them the whole truth and, like, you know, asked them how I can make it up to them, like, that I just had a really good experience with that, and I was just met with a lot of forgiveness. And you know, that just, it just meant a lot to me, because I had so much shame for so long, And I didn't think that it was possible for me to get sober because of that, you know, because I had lied for so long. And so anyway, I just, and I did my ninth step. I had like a year or more sober, so I went through the steps like relatively slowly, and like I definitely had a lot of times where I wanted to give up. And but after doing the ninth step, like that's the first time I really felt like I could actually do this, you know, for the long term, because I had faced all of those people, and I knew that I'd never wanted to hurt anybody like that again. So it's good stuff. So anyway, what do I want to say? I guess, you know, I've continued to come to meetings because I really just at this point enjoy this way of life, and I enjoy coming to meetings, and I know that it's my responsibility to try to show people that it's possible, just like these people in AA showed me that it was possible. And so I guess I feel a lot of responsibility with that, and like just and a lot of purpose in that too. And I basically know that no matter what, like if I have that as my first priority, like everything's going to turn out fine. And like I never had that kind of faith before, you know? Everything was just so miserable. Before I started drinking, like while I was drinking, and so to just like to have that kind of hope and to be actually a positive person is just totally crazy to me. And I can't like imagine any other way that I would have been able to do that, you know? Because I tried other ways. Like I went I tried to get like psychiatric help and like go to therapy, and you know, so I definitely tried other ways, but it was just such a relief for me to come in here and you know, have other people talk about like the same character defects that I had. And like, you know, when I first was exposed to the big book, like, you know, it talks a lot about, you know, the self-centeredness, the defiance, the manipulating others, trying to control people, like all of that was just me to a T. So it was actually pretty relieving to know that yeah, like I have this malady, but it's I can identify it and I can do something about it. So so I don't know, I'm just definitely really grateful, and grateful for the opportunity to speak. And I don't know, this works, this program works, so thanks for letting me share.